All right. Good morning, everyone. What a fantastic energy we have here this morning. I encourage you that as I speak, if you feel like throwing out a hmm or an amen or a preach or anything like that, feel free. I'm just going to pray before we start, and then we've got a quick video to watch up on the screen. Oh, loving God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity for us to all come together as a community, as a family, and to worship you and to give you due glory. Just really pray that this morning, it wouldn't be my words spoken, but your words, Father. Just pray that everyone's hearts would be softened and made pliable. Just really pray that everyone's spirits will be open to hearing what it is that you have to say to them this morning. Amen.
It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, "Oh, what have we here, so very round and smooth and sharp? To me it is mighty clear, this wonder of an elephant is very like a spear." The third approached the animal, and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands, thus boldly up he spake, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out an eager hand, and felt about the knee, "What most this wondrous beast is like, is mighty plain," quoth he, "'tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, "Even the blindest man can tell what this resembles the most. Deny the fact who can. This marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope, then seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right and all were in the wrong.
All right, so that's an interesting story there. These are six blind men. They all had a different idea of what God was like because they all went up and touched the elephant in a different way. Sorry. They all understood the elephant in a different way because they all went up and they touched the elephant. One of them touched the trunk, one of them touched the foot. So here's my question to you guys. What is God like? Let me hear some suggestions. Tell me, how would you describe God? Anyone at all. How would you describe God? Big. Fantastic. So one person says big. Powerful. How else would we describe God? Did you have a suggestion? No? Molly? Sorry? Loving. Fantastic. One more. Caleb. Almighty. I like that one a lot. All right. So the idea is that we all have different ideas of God, right? Now, Christmas is the time that God actually decided to say, "I want you to know what I'm like. I'm going to send my son Jesus so that you can actually see what I'm like. No more confusion." So what is God like? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little bit jealous that that people were able to meet Jesus and see God face to face. It's tricky for us because God is invisible and God can sometimes be difficult to hear. God can't necessarily be touched in the way that we might want to touch an elephant. In John 20, Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and still believe." And I read that and I'm like, really? Blessed? But I just really wish that I could see Jesus face to face, that I could understand what God is like because I've seen Jesus face to face. But it was actually a lot harder. It was a lot harder back in the day. Did you know that God used to have this very special dwelling place on earth, okay? He used to be behind this giant curtain, okay? Now, this curtain was in the holiest part of the temple where no one was allowed to go, and it was behind a giant curtain, and the curtain was about 6 inches thick, okay? Now, 6 inches is probably about that to that. So that's a really, really thick, imposing curtain. No one can see through it. God is behind that curtain, and no one is allowed to go in there and see God. Only one person was allowed to go in and see God once a year. All right, only one person out of everyone in the world could go in once a year to see God. And he could only go in there to basically apologize for all of the wrong things that we've done, and then he'd have to leave again. That was really a really short time, and that only happened once a year. But we've got a lot better now, don't we? So Jesus came to change this, okay? So I'm not sure if you are aware of the story, and I'll tell it again if you're not. So this curtain used to be what was in the way to stop God from being accessed by regular people. But then when Jesus was on the cross, this happened. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, this is a 7-inch thick, 4-inch thick curtain torn from top to bottom. What does this mean? It means that because of the punishment that we deserved, Jesus went on the cross and he took away that punishment. And at the same time, this giant curtain was torn right in half, which means that God is no longer stuck in that area in the temple. God is allowed to be anywhere. All of a sudden, anyone is allowed to approach God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. No more religion, no more laws, no more having to make sacrifices, no more having to do all of these really complicated and important rules to see God. Now, we had access to see God whenever we wanted. Hebrews 10 says, "We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new way of living opened up to us through the curtain." That is his body. So this is huge, all right? So in one fell stroke, Jesus accomplished the impossible on the cross, and he made it possible for us to approach God. I've got a bit of a funny comparison to make for you guys. Who here has ever come up onto the stage during a church service, but you didn't have a job or anything to do? Has anyone just kind of wandered up here on stage? Maybe. You're not meant to though, right? The stage is a little bit of a sacred place, wouldn't you agree? You're not meant to be up here. If you're preaching, you're allowed up here. If you're reading the Bible, you might be allowed up here. If you're in the band, you can come up here, but otherwise you're not allowed up here, right? That's a little bit like the temple, don't you think? You know, if you're a high priest and you've dressed yourself up nicely and made yourself holy, you can go in and see God, that's fine. But what happens? What happens when I come down here, okay? All of a sudden, I'm not up there, I'm not Mr. Preacher Man. Now I'm down here with you guys. We're friends, we're family, we know each other. This is no longer a religion, this is no longer a church service, this is now small group? Maybe a Bible study? Yeah? Well, in the same way, when that curtain was torn in half, it's no longer a religion, now it's a relationship. Now it's a relationship between you and God. And this allows God to live with us. It allows him to teach us, to help us to grow. He experiences our highs and he experiences our lows. He experiences our failures, and we've all got failures. And he experiences our wins. And this is all because of God's power, not our power. It's because God is the Almighty. And he has the power to tear that curtain. And he has the power to save his people and to live life with us. So what should we do now if we don't have a religion anymore and we've got a relationship with God? Now, there were 613 laws that we had to obey before the curtain was torn. We should probably obey some of them, right? Maybe the most important ones. Maybe the best 50, okay? Give me the best 50 laws of Moses that you know. Go. Don't murder. Great. That's a really good one. We should maybe not murder. Honor your parents. Yep. All right, so that's 48. 48 to go. Yep. Don't be jealous. Great. So we're sticking to the Ten Commandments here. That's good. What happens when we run out of those, though? It gets mighty complicated, doesn't it? So, interesting thing. Jesus' friends once asked him, "Jesus, what is the most important law? Out of all of the laws, what's the most important law?" And he goes, "Well, I'll do you one better. I'll give you two. The most important law is to love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. And the second law is just like it. You need to love each other just as much as you love yourself. Now, what I find really interesting about these laws is they're not really laws like, you know, if you buy a block of land, you need to give someone else this much money, or if you've done this wrong thing, you need to sacrifice this many cows. No, the two laws that he gave were very, very relational laws, don't you think? They're about loving God and loving other people. Now, I think that gives us a bit of a glimpse into what God's heart is like. So when we talk about not knowing what God is like, we only need to look at Jesus. And Jesus said the most important things was to love God and to love other people. And we know this because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So God is a God who wants to be known by us. That's why Jesus came to earth. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he tore the curtain. The curtain had to go so that there was no longer a veil between us and the Father. And Jesus had to die so that there was no longer a veil between us and the Father. So we celebrate Christmas to celebrate the time that these events were set in motion, that enabled us to be saved by God. And now, like never before, we get to be in God's family. We know this because in Romans 8 it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Can I just stop for a second? Do you think that's a bit weird? If I'm God's child, and you're God's child, and Peg's God's child, and Bron's God's child, Jenny's God's child, what does that make all of us? Family. That's a bit of a funny thought. So I want to take this opportunity while I'm down here amongst you to remind you that we're family. Family? Yeah? I've got a short list of some of my family members in this church. Got Grandma Olga, Grandpa John, Auntie Tanya, Uncle Jeff, got a nephew, Charlie, got a niece, Molly. I have a brother, Jaron. I have a sister, Amy. Now, these people are my family members, not because I like them. And not just simply because we go to the same church. And listen carefully, they're my family members because we have the same dad. So after the work is done and the veil has been torn and we have access to God, what does our life without religion look like? What does our life of relationship look like? Well, those two simple laws would tell us that it is to love God and to openly approach him and to love one another as he has shown love to us. Jesus gave the final commandment to his friends and he said, I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. Now just take a moment to think of all the ways that Jesus loved his friends. In that same way, we have been instructed by our Lord to love one another. In the same way that God loved us, we have to love one another. It seems so simple when you say it like that, but it can be so hard. Let's not kid ourselves. It can be hard. It's so simple, just two things, but it can be very hard. So, what do you think, me being all up in your business like this? This is a bit strange, yeah, being in this kind of setting. Do you remember when Jesus appeared to his friends? After he died on the cross, he appeared to his friends. He was in the room with them. Just all of a sudden, he was standing there amongst them. It's very easy to look at that story and think, oh, that was an interesting story for them, but we forget that that's actually our reality. Every single day, we forget that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Jesus is in the room with us all the time. In the same way that I'm down here invading your personal space, maybe it's time we let God invade our personal space. And we remember that God now dwells amongst us. He's not up in the clouds. He's not confined to the words of a book. He's not confined to the lyrics of a song. God is amongst us in the room, just like he was with his disciples back then. And why don't we also try to love one another? Just as Jesus said that we should love one another as he loved us. Now, God could be saying a lot of things to each of us today. I hope he is. But But just in case it's not, I want to give you guys some very simple tips. All right, just two very little tips that you can maybe take with you into the week to help really let this sink in. Number one is allow God back into your business. All right, allow God to come off the stage. Allow God to rip that curtain in your life. Allow him to come back into your life. He's not up in the clouds. He's not distant from you. Allow him to be back in your life. And remember that that curtain has no power over us anymore. Those sins have no power over us anymore. Jesus made certain of that. And when I think of all the time that I wasted because I felt like the things that I had done were just too bad to be forgiven, the amount of years that I spent not forgiving myself and not allowing God to forgive me because I thought that, well, that's how justice is served, right? If I just keep being punished. I saw God as angry for a very long time. But I want to tell you that those who see God as angry don't see God rightly. Those who see God as angry are looking at that curtain as if it's still there, but the curtain isn't there. All right, Jesus tore down that curtain. And it's funny that God tears down that curtain and we put one back up. Yeah, we think, oh no, I'm too unclean to look at God. Don't look at me. I'm going to put the curtain back up. As if we think for even a moment that the Almighty, you know, doesn't have the power to clean our sins. Do we honestly think that the things that we've done wrong are too great for the Almighty? He put the planets into motion. He spoke the light into existence, and we think that he can't deal with our sin. It's foolish to think that. Hebrews 10 says, "For God's will, his unbreakable will, was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all eternity." Let's not waste God's gift. Listen, God wouldn't have said on the cross, "It is done," if it wasn't done, okay? It is done. Please don't let that veil stay up in your life. Every day that we put that veil back up is another day wasted of Jesus' precious gift to us. So the first is, let's allow God back into our business. Let's take that veil down. And number two is to love God, to love others as God loved us. Now, I'm sure there's a massive laundry list of all the different ways that God loved his people, but I find it much more effective to just pick one at a time and work on that. So I'm going to put this out there. Jesus loved his disciples and he loved his friends, but I'll tell you something he didn't do, and that's that he didn't tear them down. Okay? He never gossiped. He never made fun. He gave them respect both to their faces and behind their backs. Everything that came out of Jesus' lips was righteous and pleasing to the Father. So I'm trying to be as candid and straight down the line as I can. If you are gossiping, trashing people behind their backs, making fun of people when they're not around, you can't do that. You just can't. It's not love. And it's certainly not the love that Jesus showed us. James chapter 1. "Those who consider themselves to be religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is useless." Let's keep in mind that we're not religious either. We're relational. So it's doubly important that we love each other in works and in deeds. Now, I'm certainly not standing up here saying that I've got this all together. But I, for one, think that Satan has had free run for long enough in the shadows. I, for one, am ready to take the fight back to Satan. And the way to do that is to stop giving him power. Satan has power in the shadows. So let's just bring it all out in the open. If we've got something that, you know, is upset us, if somebody has hurt us, if something like that is in our lives, don't give Satan the power. Don't turn it into gossip. Don't turn it into making fun of people. Let's do the right thing and speak to them face to face and love each other. Be patient with each other. If we want to love one another as Jesus loved us, we need to love each other and stop tearing each other down. Because Satan is the enemy. We're not each other's enemies. Satan is the enemy. So, look, I know it's hard. I know for some people that trusting God can be very, very hard. And I know that for some people, loving someone who has wronged you can be very hard. But we don't have to do it alone. Jesus is our Lord, but he's also our teacher. If we trust in him, submit to him, and confide in him, his Holy Spirit will transform our lives. And he will transform our hearts so that we become more like him. And eventually, maybe loving others will become second nature. It takes practice, it takes hard work. And we're going to make mistakes along the way, and sometimes we're even going to be going all the way back to square one. Absolutely. But now that that curtain has been torn, we have the freedom to approach God anytime we want to, and kneel at his feet, submit to him, and he will give us all the grace and all the love. So to wrap up, I'm going to pray. And I ask that if God is speaking to you this morning, that you really take a hold of it tightly. I ask that you would commit to following him, to becoming more like him. If God is speaking to you this morning, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or stand up or anything like that. But what I am going to ask you to do is tell someone you trust. Okay? If we're to love one another as Jesus loved us, let's encourage one another. Let's say, hey, God really spoke to me this morning. Yeah. Let's try to become more like Jesus. If we're disciples of Jesus, then we should always be trying to be more like Jesus. Let's encourage one another, love one another, just as Jesus has asked us to. So I'm going to pray now. Loving God, we thank you for being a God who wants to be known and a God who wants us to be his children. Please help us to understand you, to know your ways, and to help each of us to walk in those ways. Help us to all see the things in our lives that need to be brought into the light. Help us to know that no shortcoming will ever separate us from you. Please speak to each of us. Let us hear your voice. Let us know your will. You chose to save us. It was the almighty will of God to save his people. And may we all respond and celebrate over this fact in the coming Christmas holidays. We give you all praise and offer you our lives. Amen.